يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
ثم السلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم الأجمعين إلى يوم الدين. صلوات
اللهم
صل على رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها. صدق الله العظيم. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
So as I promised today, we're going to look at the Asma'ul Husna that we recite in Salah. There are some very important aspects of being a Muslim or connecting yourself with the divinity. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the day before Ashura, when the enemies, say the other side, wish to begin the battle, he sends Hazrat Abbas to them and he says, ask them for respite for one night so I can devote myself to my God. He said, Ana uhibbu salah, I love salah. Wa tilawati kitabihi, and I love to recite his book. Wa kathratu du'a, and I love to do lots of du'a. Wa istighfar, and I love istighfar. Now, if you look at Salah, all of these are encompassed in Salah. So the bare minimum you and I should be able to do is recite Salah. And I'm going to add a little bit here. When we recite Salah, you don't have to go through all the mustahabat. Put them to one side for starters. You know, we were brought up to recite everything with the extra, extra, extra. Right? Take the bare minimum. Cut it down completely. If somebody were to tell you that if you did 17 minutes of this particular exercise in a day, you will never ever have to go to a doctor, I can guarantee you that you will find the time. If they told you these yoga movements that you have to do, I mean, have you seen the industry that's based on diet and movement? It's phenomenal. It's trillions of pounds. Now this God is telling you and me that if you want to be spiritually healthy, if you want to make sure that your soul remains alive, it's always got the oxygen, it's always got the food, and it's always got the drink, just pray Salah. That's it. You know, the first thing we do at workshop, which is school we have for children on a Saturday, is ask them, what are the times of Salah today? And normally they would, in Ramadan, everybody knows to the minute. Ask them, what time is Maghrib? And they'll tell you 4:48 and 10 seconds. That's what they do. So what happens in these other... In fact, when I ask these children, what are the times of Salah? They may know Fajr, but they know when Fajr is Qadha. They know Dhuhr because they have to pray their workshop and then to go straight home. When I ask them Asr, they don't know. I'm not asking you right now. They might know Maghrib. I ask them Isha, they don't know. When you are at home and you have the time, pray five prayers, five times a day. It will keep you spiritually healthy. It will keep this conversation up. So today, the Asma'ul Husna that we look at are connected directly to Salah. But before that, very quick recap, because that's something I do every day. First day, Allah. You all know that. Put all 99 in a pot and you come out with Allah. I had a five-year-old call me yesterday, and it was beautiful, because she said, how many things do I put in a pot? Said 99. That's beautiful, the way she came out. Anyway, Rab, you can personalize. All the Anbiya did their du'as with Rab. In the Quran, you will find Rab. We did Hay and Qayyum. You remember? Hay, somebody who's always online. Qayyum, he keeps things standing. He keeps them together. Because Qayyum is to stand, right? Qiyam is to stand. Then you had Rahman, Rahim, and Rauf. You all know that. Okay? So immediately compassionate, constantly compassionate, and then my God, over the top compassionate. Right? So you got all that. Then we did Ghaffar, Ghafoor, Tawwab, and Afu. And all these were basically talking about the door of forgiveness is always open. Anybody can say what they like. Allah's door is open. He forgives even those sins that are embedded inside your heart. Tawbah is a U-turn. And Afu, he just rubs it all out. Literally erases it completely. Nobody can come to it. Then we get Mujib on Allah. Mujib is the one who gives you jawab. Always there. He's got those. He sees those blue ticks and that's it. Done. You've got an answer. Okay. Then we did Alim and Hakim. Now when we did Alim and Hakim yesterday, we did 12 together, if you remember. The middle ones were Alim and Hakim. Then we did Sami'ul Basir, Latiful Khabir, you know this. Raqib, Shaheed, these are the singles. Muhsi, Wajib, and Zahir and Batin. Because we did them yesterday, I'm not going to go over them. But today, we're going to go over Salah. You ready with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, when you start Salah, the first thing you do, and I'm talking about Wajibat here, okay? The first thing you do is your niyyah. You have an intention. You don't have to say it out loud. It's not like Hajj that you have to proclaim it, verbalize it. But I was taught as a child in Urdu. Even today, understanding English more than any other language or understanding a little bit of Arabic, I still say, main namaz partihu zuhr ki char rakat wajib kurbatan. You know what? Because that's what my teacher taught me. And even today, I don't know much Urdu. I can read and write it, but I can't speak it a lot, as my friend will tell you. But I still do my niyyah in Urdu. So what is the niyyah in? What is the word of Allah? The name of Allah that comes in wajib kurbatan ilallah. What was that? Kurba. Kurba. And what was the word related to the mujib? Kareem. So the moment I do niyyah, my intention is to get closeness to him. I have to communicate with him. And this salah is all about communication. There is no one here. I mean, nobody can give me an excuse and say, we don't have time to pray. Really? Are you serious? You mean you can't take 4 minutes, 3 minutes out of your day to pray? All you have to do is stand and say, I'm going to talk to you. You know, when I was little, my father was trying to convince me how good praying was. He said, in the morning, tell him what you want to do during the day. At Zohar, tell him what sort of day you've had. At Asr, tell him I'm so tired. School's really worked me out. Talk to him. At Maghrib, tell him now I want some good dinner and I'm going to go to sleep. And Isha, tell him look after me at night. I don't want any nightmares. That's it. That's basically what it's all about. There's a set way of praying. And that's because divinity says this is how you will pray. So you've got Kareem, right? Fine. Then you do Takbiratul Ihram. Allahu Akbar. It is probably the phrase that you recite most in a day. I was trying to do some calculation just now. If you recite all the mustahabat takbir, it's about 17 rakats times 5. Anybody who got a computer here? 7, 5 is 35. 85? Is that 85? 85. And then in the tasbih of Sayyidina Fatima the Zahra, how many times?
34.
So 85 plus 34 times 5. You do the math. You do the math. There you go, see? You do all the math. You've got a banker here. Great. So you can see how many times we say Allahu Akbar. Now I'm using the word Allah here before I go to Mutakabbir and Kabir. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than, it's not Allah is the greatest. Allah is greater than anything or anyone. Doesn't say who. It's left that object out so that when you come to Salah, you say, Allah is greater than everything that is in my head at the moment. When I come to this Salah, it is a conversation between me and you. Have you met mothers like me? Okay, I have 5 children and 9 grandchildren. So you can imagine the amount of noise they make, right? Now, when they talk to you, when all 9, now the 5 don't say that much, but when all 9 are talking to you, the 2 are still 7.5 months. Okay, when all 7 are talking to you, you go, yeah, yeah. And then from their sentence, you pick out one word. That's clever parenting, you know that? So if they say, oh, Nani, did you see this? And they say something like racing car. And then the other one says Barbie. So you tell this one Barbie and you see this one racing car. And then they tell you, Nani, but can I ask you about it? And you go, oh God, I wasn't listening. Because your focus was not entirely on that particular child. Now here it's only one focus, Allah. Everything that happens before Salah, when you say Allahu Akbar, you're saying Allah is greater than my problem. Allah is greater than my worry. He's greater than my heartbreak. He's greater than absolutely anything that's coming. And that is what Kabir is. The word Kabir, the name Kabir means Allah is greater than, in status, than anything that you bring to Him. The other word is Mutakabbir. And Mutakabbir is number 10, by the way. Kabir is number 37. Mutakabbir is the greatest. Nothing is impossible for Him. But the way I remember Mutakabbir, I think kun fayakun. Be and it is. So the moment I say Allahu Akbar, I know that He can do kun fayakun to all this stuff that's in my head. It's going to all go away. He can sort it out. Whatever issue I have, He is greater than that issue. And the moment you say Allahu Akbar, khalas. You don't look around, nothing. Unless your health, wealth, I don't know, children are in danger, and they're not going to be. Because you'll find a place to pray, right? Just a little while, just sit and pray. Now, I know I said no mustahabat, but there's one who I absolutely adore. Now, you don't have to recite it, but I need you to think it. It's from Imam Zainal Abidin. Sooner you say Allahu Akbar, Ya Muhsinu Kadataka Musi. Oh, the one who does ihsan, in front of you is the sinner. Fatajawazan Kabihi Ma'indi Bi Jamili Ma'indaka Ya Kareem. Change what is ugly in me with what is beautiful in you. So the moment you say Allahu Akbar, think that. Okay. Now we're going to go to Qiyam, because you're standing, right? Qiyam. Qiyam, which word comes into your head of Allah? Qayyum. It is He who helps me stand. Ya Allah, keep me standing all my life. Make sure I have the ability to stand. You pray for that. Keep me together. I don't want to break up. And then you have Qira'at. Surat al-Fatiha, and I'll do Surat al-Ikhlas. The reason why I'll do Surat al-Ikhlas is that there was a man during the time of the Prophet leading Salah. You know, people were led Salah in different mosques. Right? Masjid, the place where you could teach that. So they said, he's so boring, the Prophet said, why? He said, all he does is recite Surat al-Ikhlas. I mean, it's no change of scenery, no different surahs, why only Surat al-Ikhlas? So the Prophet said, I don't want to talk about him to you, bring him to me. So he comes along, and the Prophet said, they're telling me that the only surah you recite is Surat al-Ikhlas. I'm not telling you to recite that only, yeah? You need to change. So Surat al-Ikhlas, and they told him, why are you reciting Surat al-Ikhlas? And he said, what a surah. I love Allah and His Prophet. And this surah gives me an introduction to them. And that's why I recite it. And the Prophet said, you are Ahlul Jannah. Right? It's all about love. This book is about love. Anyway, so let's go to Surah Al-Fatiha. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. What's the first thing? Rahman and Rahim. And you all know what that means. Am I good with this? Rahman, you know, immediate. Over the top, Rahim, you know, is continuous, guidance, those who subscribe to him, so you know that. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. What names you've got? Hamid. And where is Hamid? What number is Hamid, by the way? You need to be with me here, okay? I think it's 56, if I'm not mistaken. You're finding it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Hamid, Alhamdulillahi, done Allah. We've done Rab. Rabbil. Alameen. So what did I have here? Hamid. Hamid is the only one who is praiseworthy. He's praiseworthy. And you know what hamd means? It doesn't mean praise. It means praise and gratitude. It means, if I can say, over the top, saying, oh my goodness, this mashallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, it's all part of hamd. Right? So the moment you have hamd, you say, so much you've given me. And thanks. Okay. So Hamid is the only one who is worthy of that praise. And Alhamdulillah fi kulli hal. Not only just while things are going hunky-dory and I say Alhamdulillah. No. Imam Zainal Abidin, people come to him and say, we are Shias. He says, oh really? What happens when you get something? I say Alhamdulillah. What happens when you don't get anything? Nothing. We just walk around, you know. And what happens when something's taken away? We cry a bit. But that's what we do, and we complain a bit. He says that's like the dogs of Medina. When you give them some food, they bark. When you don't give them anything, they roam around the streets. When you take something away, they bark a bit and they walk away. Ashiyas are those who, by the way, do their best and then hand it over to Allah. But they say Alhamdulillah when they get something, Alhamdulillah when they don't get anything, and Alhamdulillah when something has been taken away. Right? That's why you remember Sayyidina Zainab when you say Alhamdulillah, ma ra'aytu illa shajaran. Okay. Then, Maliki or Maliki Yawmid Deen. What number is Malik? I think it's number 3 if I'm not mistaken. Malik actually means, it comes from the root word malaka, which means to tie or to fasten something. That's basically what it means. But it's actually somebody who is in position of authority, an owner of everything. Only the difference here is this owner has total control as well. You see, when I own something, I don't know, maybe I own this book, I own my phone, right? I think I do. But when it goes wrong, I can't do anything with it. I don't know what to do with it. While here, the moment you say Maliki Yawmiddin, not only is he the owner of the Day of Judgment, he has total control. Why would I go to anybody else? Just go straight to him and say, I'm sorry. Or whatever you want to say about your accountability, right? So Malik is there. He wishes what he wants in his kingdom. Let me give you an example, what I think of when I think of Malik. Again, this is taught to me by my Baba. So imagine there was a king in the place you're living in the county you're living in. Or there was a really philanthropical man, a philanthropist was there. He opened a big office and he said, anybody who wants an interest-free loan, anybody who wants anything, any business acumen, any advice, any accountant, anything he wants, doctor, dentist, whatever, it's free, just come here. Would we go? Yes, we would all go. And he would say, I have space for everyone, I have such a big office. That is Malik. That is what Malik means. He's the king, he's got absolute authority, and he's only here. In fact, we're told this Malik cries out, is there anyone who wants forgiveness? Is there anyone who wants help? Is there anyone who wants shafa? Come and call me as Malik, no? You remember when Maryam said, how am I going to have a child? What did he say? Allah does what he wishes. That's Malik. So Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. That's we talking to him. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Where did we come in? What's that word here? Ihdina. Hadi. Find me Hadi. I think it's 94. Yes? Yes, 94. Okay. So when Fir'aun goes, Musa goes to Fir'aun. He goes to Musa. He says, Man rabbukum ya Musa? Who is your Rabb, O Musa? He says, رَبُّنَا الَّذِي خَلْقَهُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ ثُمَّ هَدَى. My Rabb is He who creates everything and then He guides it. Even somebody who's blind, you know when they read Braille, have you seen them? It's Allah who guides them. Have you seen them with their stick? It doesn't matter what problems we have. All of us, in some way or the other, have a disability. And He guides us through that disability. All our ability, He takes us through it. Have you read Surah An-Nahl? So beautiful. So I'm going to paraphrase it in my language. So bees, you know when bees find some flowers, they actually call the other bees over there. Now, they don't talk and say, hey, come here, or pick up the phone. They don't have anything like that. They do a dance. They do dance dances. One is a round dance, a circle dance, and one is a waggle. Oh, please look at this. This is a reflection of Surah An-Nahl. The round dance tells the other bees the distance and direction of where this flower patch is. And the waggle, and Quran talks about it, the waggle tells them the quality of the flowers. So you just have to watch. I have a granddaughter. My eldest granddaughter has got cerebral palsy, which means she cannot sit, she cannot stand, she cannot talk, she cannot hold her head, but she talks with her eyes. And if she wants to say yes, she puts her right hand up. If she wants to say no, she puts her left hand up. But they've got a computer program with which she can talk with her eyes. Absolutely phenomenal. She communicates whole sentences, what she wants to wear, what she wants to do, simply with her eyes. And that's when you think of Al-Hadi, because he guides. Really, he guides. He's phenomenal, okay? So, now he sent me and you guides as well. When we say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, the thing that should come in your and my head is Quran and the Masu. Immediately. How much do I know? How much Quran do I read? Is my Quran journal? Do I take instructions for it? And the Masumeen, how much do I take from them? Immediately, the moment I say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. And then he gives the answer, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. Follow the path of those whom I have blessed, not the path on whom there is anger, or those who are lost. Who has he blessed? He says, read the rest of my Quran. But I'll tell you, M14. Masumeen, 14. Take that highway, and you'll make it. There's no two ways about it. Oh, and then through to the class. My goodness. The beautiful words or beautiful names of Allah. Ahad and Samad. You got the numbers there? 67 and 68. Basically, Ahad is the only one. The only one who has perfect attributes. The only one who has a right to be submitted to. The only one whose door is never shut. The only one who is the source of all power. The only one who is everything, absolutely everything in perfection. So the moment you say, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ, you say, why the heaven am I worried about the world and their wives? When I have a Rabb who is Ahad, and then no word better than Samad. I say that for every single one. But Samad is phenomenal, self-sufficient, unchangeable, one on whom the whole of creation depends on, even the one you're scared of. I'm a mother-in-law, so sometimes you get scared of mother-in-laws, right? Have I got mother-in-laws here? Yeah. Speak, yeah. You know. So I go, Ma, you all right? Okay, don't worry. I'm talking about me, not you. I'm sure you're all beautiful, okay? But Samad, even that mother-in-law relies on him, on Samad. And he is the most perfect. You know, there's a hadith of the Prophet says, Samad means, Kamal fi kulli asma, which means if you think of the best Rahim, Samad. Best Rahman, Samad. So the ulama tell us that whenever you recite a name of Allah, always recite a Samad after it. I'm going to give you an example. Let's take a mama. Okay, a mom. I told you this incident, I'll repeat it again. So in Medina, this woman lost her child. Now it wasn't a time where you had lost and found and people found each other. It wasn't like that. So this child got lost and wasn't found for 2 or 3 days and then suddenly found. And when that child was found, the mom ran and hugged the child. The Prophet with his companions tells his companions, do you think that mother would, in any form or fashion, because her child ran away, throw him into the fire? Do you think so? Will she? No. He ran away. He went away. Did she have perfect rahmah? A mother has rahmah, right? Selfless love. Rahman, Rahim. She's all these things. She's known as Rabb because she takes you to your full potential. Would she throw her child in the fire? No. So then he who is perfect Rahman, does he wish to put you and me in the fire? No. Why would he? I'm going to teach you a dua, okay? Please remember this. And if you go back to the recording, you'll be able to understand it. Read this dua all the time. Allahumma. Read it after me. Allahumma. Inni. As'aluka. بأن الله الأحد الصمد. You know the rest of it. الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. I guarantee you there's absolutely nothing that will stop you getting to your full potential. It's a phenomenal story. You know the Prophet said, recite Surah Al-Ikhlas 3 times, it's like finishing the Quran. But recite it, not La 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 la. That's not like that. That's why I said, bare minimum, recite it slowly, okay? Right, so you finish your Qur'at, and you go into Ruku. What do you say in Ruku? Subhana Rabbiyal Azeemi wa bihamdi. Then hum. Azeem is number 33. The moment, and remember this is in the last ayah of Suratul Haqqa, Suratul Waqiyah, and in Ayatul Kursi. And when it was revealed, the Prophet said, Ij'al fi ruku'ikum. Put it in your ruku. So there must be something in this attribute. What is Azeem? Okay, I would like to put Azeem to you as absolutely awesome. The moment you think Azeem, you think awesome. Awesome. Let's one word. When the Prophet wrote a letter to Heracles, the emperor of Rome, he called him the Azim man of Rome. The Azim man of a person is the one who is most known, or rather the greatest man there. So maybe in our country we would call the Azim man the king or the prime minister. Oh, he's an Indian, that's really cool. So we could call that. But as far as Allah and Azim goes, think of any personality that you think is awesome, he is more awesome than him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says that the Prophet told him that when you find somebody who's very ill and it's like a terminal illness, hold their hand and recite Ya Azim 7 times. Inshallah, Allah will give them shafa. Incidentally, on that note, I'll just take a few minutes more. On that note, when you learn something, it's not like just opening a YouTube channel. You need to hold somebody's hand. You need to be with them on the same farsh. There's a difference. When people came to learn from the Prophet, they would put their knees to his knees and put their hands on his legs. That's how you learn. Because the feeling you have from you goes into the other person. You know, when you shake somebody's hand and you say assalamu alaikum, and you're going to do salam as well. When we say assalamu alaikum, all your burdens are lifted from your shoulders. When you hug each other, don't go hugging namahrams. If you hug each other, then your sins fall off like the leaves in autumn. That's assalamu alaikum. Right? So, please let's keep this in mind when we go ahead. Anyway, so Adi. So when you go to see someone, when they're ill, hold them. Pass your vibes onto them. And if you don't like them, don't go. Please, stay at the distance, okay? Don't say salamu alaikum, hold your hand and pass a bad vibe. La, 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 doesn't work, okay? Next one, we did hamd. What happens then? From ruku, you stand up. Sami Allahu liman hamida. We've done a sami and we've done hamid. Then you go into sujood, and what do you say? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bi hamdi. Where is Ali? Number 36. Surah number 36 is what? Surah 2? Yasin. What is Yasin? Kalbe? Quran. The heart of the Quran. So what is 36? Ali. And where does Ali stay? In your heart. You can't forget, no? 36 and Ali. Okay. So when Sabi Isma Rabbika al-A'la was revealed, the Prophet said, put this in your sujood. So what does Ali mean? Ali, you say, most high. You know, when you and I talk about Allah, what do we say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody who is most high. Not high physically, although you think of a mountain and you think of somebody who's high, and you put a mountain in there as well. But high as in way above where your potential is. Don't ever think that your potential is low. Hitch your wagon to the stars. Go right up there. You want to be the best. So that when Malikul Maut comes and says, time up, you're able to say, thank you for life. I did my best. I tried to reach there to Ali. Because the Prophet says, come raise you. He said, Allah said, by the way, come raise yourself to me. Don't live below your capacities. Whatever little capacity you have, do it. Okay, so you did sujood. Then you sat up in Qu'ud, Astaghfirullah Rabbi, wa atubu. Ghafur, Ghafar, Tawab, and Afu. These should go through our mind. And that's why Salah should take a little bit of time. Back to your sajda, and then you stand up. Bihawlillahi wa quwwatihi aqumu wa aq'ud. So when you're standing, what is the word you find? You find Qiyam, but what else did you find? Kawi, find Kawi, where is it? Number 53, I think, again, immediately. It's from Quwa. His strength is unparalleled. It's inexhaustible. I know many of us have difficulties with our knees. I know many of us find it hard to stand or sit, and I'm not putting that down at all. But you know what? One day, try Ya Kawi. Try to stand a bit for your first rakah. That, just try, see that strength he gives you. I know a person who went for Hajj this year. And she tells me that when she went for Hajj, suddenly her knees gave way because she had replacement knees. And she said, all I kept on reciting was Ya Qawi. They got better. But she said, you know what? As soon as Hajj finished, they started again. And I don't know what happened, but Ya Qawi, my goodness, it'll give you the strength to carry on, okay? All right, then what do you do? Right, finish the rest of it. You've got your kunut, all the rest of it. But then you come to tashahhud and salam. You know shaheed. We did shaheed, right? Witness. But salam is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I don't think anything beats it. Salam means the source of peace. It's number 5, by the way. How do you remember it's number 5? How many fingers do you have on your hand? 5. How do you salam with your hand? Yes? You remember number 5 is salam. Okay. When you say assalamu alaikum, I know it's translated as peace be upon you. But many of the ulama say it means may assalam be with you. May Allah be with you. Isn't it beautiful? So when I say assalamu alaikum, may Allah be with you, every anger, every hatred, every jealousy, every resentment, everything I have against that person disappears. Because I'm telling them, from now on, I am wishing that this God of mine and yours, assalam, is with you. They become a source of peace, not a source of hatred or anger or whatever you want to talk about, right? And you all know Yasin. What will happen when you go to Jannah? And we're all going, inshallah. Okay. Salamun qawlam mir Rafi Rahim. What is he going to say? Peace. Peace comes with him. Surah Ra'd. Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'inn al-qulub. These names is what's going to take us further, right? I'm going to, before I go to, just a little bit about Hazrat Abbas, let me just tell you something about the Prophet. So, there was a companion of his called Ma'ad ibn Jabal. Do you know Ma'ad ibn Jabal? You haven't read about him, the first ambassador of Islam. Anyway, so Ma'ad ibn Jabal comes to the Prophet, and he sits with the Prophet with his knees touching the Prophet and his hands on the laps of the Prophet because he wants to learn. And the Prophet said, I love you. Uhibbuka. I really love you. Okay? And he looked at the Prophet. Can you imagine a Prophet telling you, Uhibbuka? Wow. Even when somebody is sitting on this farsh, these are Muhibba Hussein, right? So when they say, Uhibbuki, beautiful, isn't it? Then he says, Omar, read this every day after your salah. We forget these things. But this, I know I didn't say this stuff, but I have to tell you some of these. Allahumma anta salam. Oh Allah, you are peace. Wa minka salam. And from you is peace. Tabarakta ya zul jalali wal ikram. If you don't remember the last bit, at least you know. That you know you can say, Allahumma anta salam. Wa minka salam. I mean, tell people you love them. This is what the Prophet did straight after salah. Absolutely phenomenal. So I'm hoping, even if you don't change your salah, at least pray and think of these names going through your head. Try to dedicate 17 minutes of your day. 17 minutes after 24 hours is nothing. And then if you're really cute and you really love him a lot, just before you go to sleep, you have one rakah with him. One, only one. Don't even go on your musalla. Do wudu, go to your bed. One rakah, that's it. See the difference it makes in your life. We'll talk about it, inshallah. Okay? Because you just have to get prepared for it tomorrow.